CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Nadia Shadlow at the Hoover Institution as well as the Hudson Institute, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal about the challenges to the Department of Defense right now in the year 2021. And the Pentagon has issued a document called Climate Strategy because part of the national security concern of the Biden administration, I believe, is climate change and what is to be done. Nadia, a very good evening to you. Thank you very much. The Pentagon's climate strategy is a very lengthy and considerably thought-through document. Is this the Pentagon's understanding of its mission now, this strategy? Good evening to you.
Hi, John. It's great to be here, and thank you so much for having me. I do think the document, which is called the Climate Risk Analysis, and it is available on the internet, does really reveal the Biden administration's focus on climate change, right? It has prioritized this in many, many of its documents, and I think we'll continue to see that as it issues its national security strategy and its national defense strategy.
Fine. And then we come to your comments about adaptive actors. Now, to my knowledge, climate is not an adaptive actor, but we better do a definition here. What is, in strategic thinking, what is an adaptive actor as an adversary?
Well, an adaptive actor is one that can think and react and respond. Strategy is about, fundamentally, strategy is about competition. It's about adversaries who can shift course, requiring us to shift course as necessary. In my Wall Street Journal article, I identified two strategists, one a famous strategist named Carl von Clausewitz, who talked about a dialectic of wills, whereby actors take actions and counteractions against each other. The more modern strategist, Edward Luttwak, talks about how actions can't be repeated because the other party adapts. These are thinking actors like China, like Russia, like Iran. COVID and climate are not thinking sentient beings. They require planning, but that's fundamentally different. The Department of Defense focus needs to be on thinking adaptive actors because we need to deter them. And if necessary, hopefully we won't be in such a situation, we need to defeat them.
Let's look at what the Navy Secretary Carlos Del Toro says about the challenges for his U.S. Navy, China, climate change, and COVID. To my understanding, does that mean these are equal challenges for the U.S. Navy, China, climate, and COVID? No differences?
That's how I read them, and the Biden administration has consistently discussed climate as an existential threat. So I argue that actually they need to be thought about differently and shouldn't be lumped together. DOD, as I said, has plenty of problems in just responding to the challenges of China and other thinking adaptive adversaries, right? The Chinese just tested hypersonic missiles and reportedly we were caught off guard. The Army, the Navy, the Air Force remain struggling with readiness. They're not getting enough hours in. We can't maintain our forces. These are for all different reasons. So DOD's focus needs to be on ensuring that we have combat-ready forces to deter adversaries.
Is there a precedent for the DOD turning its attention to a pandemic? Did this happen in the Hong Kong flu? Or I remember getting some version of a virus in 1968 that at the time it was said was brought home by veterans returning from Vietnam. That's the explanation we had in 68. It wasn't mortal for me, but I was a young person. There were lots of people who were very badly damaged and deaths because of that. Did the Pentagon turn its attention then? I missed it.
Yeah, I'm not sure. In 1968, I know DOD has brought in for many, many kinds of problem sets, which run counter to its primary mission. And that's because DOD, the U.S. military, is a highly capable operational force, right? They can do lots of things because they're trained to be operational, to be responsive, to be agile, and fundamentally, it's a very competent force, right? We've had problems, I would say, over the past few months in terms of Afghanistan. But fundamentally, we don't have really other government agencies that function at that level of effectiveness. So that's the problem. But that's the problem. DoD can't respond to all of these problem sets.
Three aspects of this decision to move climate change and COVID into the same category as, for example, China. The first is it shifts Department's attention. We already see that. Is that right, Nadia? This document is shifting attention.
Yeah, I mean, this document is layering on layers and layers and layers of bureaucracy onto the Department of Defense. Every single level of DoD is now going to be required to consider climate. So it will definitely weigh down the department as opposed to looking at, again, its core missions. It doesn't mean that DoD doesn't have a role in looking for ways to reduce its carbon emissions, and I can go into that. But this document is going to be a huge another set of reporting requirements onto the department.
Well, reducing your carbon footprint is not the same as dealing with a hypersonic missile. Let's look at the second priority you identify as misplaced. This is that there are other parts of the U.S. government who are more suited for these challenges. Is the DoD an add-on, an augmentation to what the EPA or the CDC can do?
It should be. It should be an add-on or augmentation, right? The DoD's focus is not on DoD itself cannot reduce climate directly, right? It can do a lot. It can contribute to it. But the development of the decarbonization technologies, the development of the alternatives, that comes, lots of other actors come into play. DoD can then help implement if it makes operational sense, right? We need to be able to power our boats, power our ships, our aircraft with reliable and sustainable sources of energy.
The third issue is the one that bites the most, and this goes back to what is an adaptive actor. What you identify is that right now there are unanswered questions about our ability to do something fundamental, which is to defend Taiwan. Do you measure the DoD is turning away from that or sharing that challenge with climate change and COVID?
Challenges such as defending Taiwan and deterring China and deterring other thinking adaptive adversaries are really hard. And my point is that DoD has to focus on those first and foremost. Climate will create or will likely create instability just as many other things are today creating instability. The 80-some million refugees today around the world, according to the UN, the figure is something like 82 million people have been forced to flee their homes. They're all from countries, Syria, Venezuela, Myanmar, places where they're fleeing because of political instability, because of traditional sources of political and economic conflict and threats to their immediate lives. DoD has and always had to look at those issues. So I think it has plenty to do before being burdened with huge amounts, again, of requirements related to climate.
Our final minute, Nadia. To your knowledge, is there a debate about this going on now in government, in military circles about how it is we fight COVID, how it is we fight? The training is magnificent, but I don't think it involves these issues of what's to be done with the Arctic.
I mean, there's no open debate about the subject of my article because there's too much of there's no open debate, but I received many, many emails and comments saying, you know, thank you for raising this issue. It's not an issue that can be openly debated at DoD by civilians or active duty military, because I think it would actually be considered unacceptable because there's such a pressure to put climate right up, as I said, as an existential threat.
Nadia Shadlow is a fellow at the Hoover Institution and the Hudson Institute, writing most recently at the Wall Street Journal about the DoD and climate change. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.